Morning, church. So as Ross said, the reading this morning is going to come from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. So I'll just start reading. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet.
Good morning, Blakehurst Anglican Church. It's great to be with you today and to bring you a word from the scriptures. Many of you probably have a little nickname. You may have a nickname between your spouse and yourself, but then other people may know it as well. Sometimes the nicknames are great fun. One particular church I was at, the father gave nicknames to two of his daughters. One he called Splonk and the other one he called Sparksy. He called his wife Billy, and then everyone else who came into their particular home, he had a nickname for, and I was either called Bear or Ted. When I was at one particular church, I think I was going through a midlife crisis, and I decided that I wanted to bleach my hair. I sat for every lunchtime for about a month, and I'd put lemon juice on my hair. I had hair in those days, thinking it'd be blonde after a while, and it didn't. So I just bought a bottle of peroxide from the chemist shop, and of course, I didn't know, but my hair went red. And so I was called either Copper Top or Duracell for a while. But then that opened up lots of opportunities to people who are having a midlife crisis as well. Well, we're going to look at a guy in the Bible today and some other verses, and he had a nickname, and his real name was Joseph Levi. Can't get any more Jewish than that. But everyone knows him as Barnabas, the son of encouragement. It was a wonderful nickname because it really summed up his life. That he lived with the people of God. And so we find Barney in Acts chapter 4, and it says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and bought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Here is this man, he's been converted, and he is very generous to people. And he just gives money and gives of himself. And Barnabas reflects to us the God that we love and serve. We know that Jesus gave himself. He encourages us to actually give our life back to him because he gave for us. And we know that he was the comforter as well. And he also tells us that another comforter will come, who is the Holy Spirit. We are also told in Acts that this man, Barnabas, is a man full of the Holy Spirit. So that means his character, his very life, is reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not only generous with his money, but he was also generous in his attitude to other people. When everyone was scared of Paul, who got converted, of course, he actually took Paul under his wing. And the early church was threatened by Paul because he had taken people to court. He had actually persecuted the early church. But we know that Barnabas takes him under his wing because he could see what God was doing. So he was not only generous with his money, he was generous with the people that he met. We can read in Acts chapter 9, verses 26 to 27, that when he came to Jerusalem, this is the Apostle Paul, he tried to join the disciples, but they are all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them of how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. And it's wonderful to see these two men who then are working together. They are co-workers or fellow workers in the kingdom of God. You know, it's really necessary at this particular time to remember that we need to be encouragers. And I'm encouraged that, yes, things don't look particularly good in terms of the COVID, and yet we know that we're not too bad compared to the rest of the world. But I don't know if you realize that around the world, God is doing marvelous things through this COVID. For example, in the UK, the reading of the scriptures has gone through the roof. We know that the Bibles are being bought off the shelf. And we know that there's more people now who have gone to the Apple Store and Google Play to install scriptures. It's gone over 2 million since the COVID came in. And one of the largest Christian bookstores in England, which I've bought books through, is called Eden Bookstore. It's seen the physical sale of Bibles rise 55% in April, while the Google search for prayer and Christianity have gone out through the roof. So be encouraged that in this lockdown, people are starting to wonder, what is going on? Is God in control? Is there a God? And so we need to be encouraged as well. Just like Barnabas was a great encourager, so we encourage people who don't know Jesus Christ to maybe, you know, go online and look at things. One particular church I know here in Sydney, they're doing Alpha online. They have 70 people doing Alpha online at an Anglican church. So we need to be people just like Barney to encourage one another. Indeed, the scriptures tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, therefore encourage one another and build each other up just in fact as you are doing. So here's a command. It's a command to me, it's a command to you, it's a command to the leaders, it's a command to the small group leaders, it's a command to all Christians. Don't be tearing down. Build one another up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to do that. We need to do that because firstly, and point number one, the God that we love and serve is a God of encouragement. If we pull back the curtains to see our God, we know that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are there together. And of course, when we gather together, we come to worship our great God, because God is a God of encouragement. That's the God we worship. In Isaiah 40, and I'll leave you to look at that in verses 1 to 4, you'll know the words so well. Comfort, comfort my people, says God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that a hard service has been completed, that her sins have been paid for, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. God wants God's people who are in Babylon, who are going to come home, he wants to encourage them to be comforted that their sins are forgiven and God is going to prepare a way and bring them back home to Jerusalem. And we find that also for the Apostle Paul, he tries to encourage the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 1 verses 3 to 5. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. Why? So that we can actually go and encourage other people who are suffering just as they had suffered. So Here is Paul saying again, this God that we love and serve is a God of all encouragement. So therefore, as you have been encouraged, then you go out and encourage other people. It's a wonderful two-way ministry. God encouraging us, we are encouraged to go out for God and to encourage each other. So we want to encourage you today, and I want to encourage you to do what the Apostle Paul is telling that young church to do. And indeed, he will go on later on in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 8 to 12, to say how much suffering he went through, but yet God was answering the prayers that God's people were praying. And actually, he thanks the young church at Corinth for indeed being with him in prayer. Now, Jesus is the encourager as well. God the Father, he encourages us. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, he is the great encourager. In 1 John 2, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's encouraging. Yes, Jesus died on the cross for us. And yet here, it seems in 1 John, that he still comes to the Father and says, this one's mine. This one's mine. It's not the child of Satan. No, this one's mine, Father. You know, I died for this one. He's there. He's the advocate. He's, you know, drawing to the Father's attention that we are saved. So that's an encouragement that there's no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. So the Father is the God of all encouragement. Jesus encourages us that even though we sin, we are forgiven if we come to him. He is there pleading with the Father. And also the Holy Spirit is the comforter for us. In John 14, Jesus says, you know, I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you desolate. No, the Holy Spirit is going to come on every single Christian. And that Spirit is the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth. Now, that's encouraging, isn't it? You know, Jesus actually sends the Holy Spirit to walk alongside us, to be with us, whatever we go through. And we know that the Holy Spirit also intercedes for us. You know, we have Jesus interceding for us. He did die for us on the cross. And yet, you know, sometimes we think that Satan's tripping us up and we're not good enough. No, Jesus is there in that 1 John. And then in the Romans 8, Paul speaks about the Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that encouraging? Even when we can't put into words, as we come to God in prayer, that we're struggling to know how we come to the Father and ask him for certain things. Do you know the Spirit is working on our behalf, and he is going to the Father, and he is actually bringing the intercession to God himself. You know, we ought to be people who are so overwhelmed and worship God afresh, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the blessed God that we love and serve, is the God of all encouragement. So that's who God is. God's a God who encourages, comforts, draws alongside. And I hope that you share stories about what's happening in this particular time with COVID, of how God has provided for you. And the second point simply is that we need to be people of encouragement. That's again where the Apostle Paul gives that command. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, as in fact you are doing. Now, we all need to be encouraged. Yes, there are people who I say are super, super, super duper encouragers. And the Spirit has given a massive outpouring upon those people. I say they're encouragers with a big E. And yet the Scriptures call us all to encourage and build one another up in the faith. And I think this is a difficult thing. Things are not going well for us. I'm a single person. There's no one else in this house but me. I asked quite a number of Christians, would they ring me just once a week for 5 minutes to check how I was going? Do you know only one person has done that? And that's your rector, Ross. 5 minutes. That's all I ask the other people. There's no one that I can say of a night time or give them a hug. You who are married, you've got your husband or wife and you can give them a hug. You've got your children around you maybe. You can give them a hug and a kiss. Nothing for people who are single. So do have mercy upon the single people and the single again. You know, encourage them, and especially those that are in sickness or not allowed to attend any gathering. I mean, at my church, at Rudy Hill Anglican Church, or MBM, there's over 800 people. They can only have two services, restricted to 100. So that means there's over 600 people who can't get to church. So, you know, what have we got to do? We've got to ring one another up and encourage one another. So we need to work on this, have a mindset of encouragement. Now, we talk about money and things like that, where we make a contribution to the life of the church. I want to say, make a contribution to the Christians in the church by encouraging them and building them up, not tearing them down. Building them up. I've been in too many churches now, and I know that people walk in the door and often they've got problems on their mind, the worries that they've been through, the financial stress and everything like that, and just kind of they're thinking of themselves because of what they've been going through. And sometimes we go to church because I want to get my fix of God, or I want to someone else to encourage me, or I want that particular song in worship, or I want my needs met. You know, brothers and sisters, we've got to change our whole mindset, whether it's by Zoom or live, or you can gather in very small groups. Please be like God. Encourage one another. And we need to do that all the more. You know, we need to worship God and exalt him, be listening to his word, to be praying. I was reflecting on my Bible readings the other day where Jesus actually said, my house, my temple will be a house of prayer. And yet so often in all the churches that I've worked, prayer is just tacked on. And yet Jesus says, you know, it's to be a house of prayer. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Let blessing come from your lips. The Lord bless you and keep you. the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Do you know, I don't hear very many people praying against COVID. Oh, they're praying for a vaccine. Recently, I had to go into hospital, and number one, I had to have a pill cam where you swallow this tiny little tablet. And it's Bluetooth to a thing that you've got strapped around you. And as soon as she Bluetoothed it, the thing started flashing because it takes a picture every second. So I swallowed it flashing and it went through my system. No blood. I wasn't shedding any blood anywhere. And then I had to go into the hospital system, be admitted to have for 1 hour, an infusion. The infusion of iron only lasted 15 minutes, but I had to sit there for 45 minutes afterwards. And all of a sudden, I'm in one of those chairs in that area where you sit down and other people are being ministered to. And not one person's face could I see. I thought in the end that this is really quite impersonable. It's so unlike God, where we can see his face. A doctor came, the house doctor came. I had to have a little catheter put into my hand. I certainly look away for those. And he said to me, "Oh, Mark, I have to stop. I can't see." And I'm going, "What?" And he was wearing a mask, like every single person was wearing a mask. And he'd fogged up his glasses. So I said, "Oh, it's fine. Just wipe your glasses and put it in my vein." And I thought to myself, you know, God wants us to see his face. We see that in the Lord Jesus. We see that in the Word. I remember being at college once and in one particular lecture, and one of the guys said, "Why do we have to go to chapel so much, Dr. Knox?" In my time, we went to chapel 8 times during Monday to Friday. We heard 5 different sermons. And then on Sunday, you'd back up and you'd go for 3 services on the church you were allotted to. That's a lot of church services and that's a lot of sermons. And so one guy said to Dr. Knox, he said, "Why do we have to go to chapel?" And like a flash, the principal, D.B. Cale, or Broad Knox, said to us, "To seek the face of God. To seek the face of God." And when we seek that face, because we're in relationship with him, his face is shining upon us. He loves us. And you can do a Bible study around the face of God. Encourage one another. Encourage one another with the Word of God. You know, my mum came to faith later in life and she read the Bible every single morning. And yes, it was the U Bible or the Good News Bible. I still got it here and she underlined it heavily. But she would encourage me. As I was ordained, or even before that, she'd encourage me with the Word of God. And certainly Broughton Knox would tell stories about how his mother, she was in a nursing home, and he'd go and see her on the weekend and on a Saturday, and she'd always say to Broughton, "What's tomorrow?" "Sunday, Mum." "Well, we've got to pray now for the Word of God and all the preachers, that the gospel will go out throughout the whole world. Come on, Broughton, now pray." And Broughton Knox, in his own little way, would pray in that very Englishy accent that he has. So we need to encourage one another with the Word of God. In the book of Hebrews, you have to understand, Hebrews is about Jewish Christians who are under immense persecution, who want to go back. who want to go back, like, to Egypt, if I can say it like that. They want to go back to just Judaism because they were under persecution. But the writer of the Hebrews in chapter 10 says, let us not give up the meeting together, as is the habit of some, but let us encourage one another all the more, and all the more as the day is approaching. So encourage one another. Use the word of God. Use the old hymns. Use part of the prayer book to use people to build them up. There's no place for solo Christianity. Again, come back and encourage one another. And I've given you a handout to have a little look in your small groups and the way that you do that, of how you talk and choose wisdom. You know, speak wisdom into people. Speak love into people. We're to guard our tongue. And I've put there little ideas for you to be able to encourage one another in the last part of that handout. So what is it for us today? The word of God for us today is that God is the God of all comfort and encouragement. So let us build one another up. This is not the time to be angry, to be taking it out on people. There's enough of that we see going around at the moment. But brothers and sisters, encourage one another. Amen.